You're listening to Radio DMG.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Will Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and that was a bit of a shorter intro. We're trying to make sure that we get into the show and have my introduction within 30 seconds of starting the program. Reason for that is we're trying to conform more to broadcast standards. But in a way, I mean, I can still say curse words if I want to, but, you know, we can still... We want to make it so that we conform easier to radio broadcast standards. Because, hey, in the future, wink wink, that might be important. And it'll be very important for some of our other shows. But to let you in on a little bit of what's going on today, we have a pretty good show for you today. We have an interview that we did with Rachel Robinson from NondeskCon 2014. And that's our feature presentation for today. We don't really have any news to go through. Just a lot of the same old stuff. There will be new Radio DMG episodes and Area DMG episodes, and I'm working on reviews of a bunch of stuff. I've actually been playing a lot of The Binding of Isaac Rebirth on the new Nintendo 3DS XL. I was playing it before on the Vita, but I realized that I don't really want to review it on the Vita. I think I'm going to review it on the 3DS XL, the new 3DS XL, because, quite frankly, this is going to sound really weird, but it kind of plays better on the new 3DS XL, mainly because the better buttons, that could be it, the double screen standard, the fact that it doesn't look different from the other stuff. In fact, you can use the same seeds from previous versions on that version. It's like, the new 3DS XL, it's like it's running Unity, and I'm like, ah, finally. You know, the thing, though, is I'm able to play, like, The Binding of Isaac Rebirth, and it just makes me wish that there was Hotline Miami on this system. Maybe it's because the dual sticks of the PlayStation Vita aren't as comfortable. I'm sorry. They're not good, which is really a shame, if you ask me. But hey, that is for another rant and another time. For now, let's get into our interview with Rachel Robinson from NondeskCon 2014. And then we'll see you on the other side of that. Stay tuned! Welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here at NondeskCon 2014 with...
Rachel Robinson. Woohoo! Denver!
Yeah, Denver. So, just in case our listeners may not be familiar with what it is you do and who are you and what do you do?
I am Rachel Robinson, which I think I might have announced before, but if not, that's a true story. I'm a voice actress. And I am the voice of Fang from Final Fantasy XIII and its successors. I'm in Guild Wars 2. I'm Zoran Blitz in Helsing Ultimate, which is airing on Toonami now, people. Just saying. What else? My brain hurts because it's Sunday. But let's see. Lidvia Lorenzetti in A Certain Magical Index 2. Have some roles in Space Dandy and Attack on Titan, which is very exciting. Elder Scrolls, I'm the Argonian. Magaria in Kaijudo Rise of the Duel Masters. Pamela Anderson and Vern Troyer in Celebrity Deathmatch. Goes way back. But yes, I make the cartoon people say things. Yeah, that's what I do.
She works the magic. The magic.
I try.
So, were you always interested in being a voice actor, or was it something that kind of developed over the years?
No, I was always interested in that. Watching cartoons growing up, I mean, I was raised on a steady diet of Hanna-Barbera and Looney Tunes and even the UPA.
Yeah, UPA.
Really, thank you. Because I saw a bunch of them and I just couldn't remember who it was. I didn't actually start to pursue it as a career until later, and I'm kicking myself now because when I realized that I had an aptitude for it, my dad's like, you could actually do this for a living. I thought, but don't I have to go to school and do this and do that? I thought, oh, I actually could have done it sooner. But, you know, better late than never. And it wasn't really that late. Been doing it for about 15 years, but 14, 15, I lose track. In my mind, it's kind of already 2015. I really do like the voice performance. It's not that I don't like on camera. I just never had the same propensity for it. I never had the same passion for it. Growing up, I was a pretty shy kid, and there were only a few people that I was comfortable performing in front of. I never really had that center of attention thing. So this was actually a way that I could have more range and also kind of, you know, stick behind the scenes. There's something really nice about the relative anonymity of being a voice actor, if that makes any sense. Plus, you know, the on-camera world can be pretty cutthroat. And again, I have it. I won't turn it down. But I just don't fight for it the same way that I fight for voice acting. And it's there's so many different aspects of it that are so wonderful. You're always learning something. And the more I learn, the more I want to know. And sometimes the more I learn, the more I realize I have to learn. So that's great. It's something, I don't get bored of it. Which is awesome, because I get bored easily sometimes.
That happens.
Yeah.
So, speaking of getting bored easily, what do you think of NondeskCon 2014 so far?
I think it's great. I haven't, I only just got here yesterday morning. I had an obligation at home that I couldn't, I had to go. It was pretty important. But I thought, if there's a way to do both, then let's do that. So, you know, and I used to live in Colorado. I was in Boulder for a little less than a year and then ventured up to Telluride. And did the wonderful ski bum things, a great lifestyle. You know, you go to work for anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 hours, depending, because resort schedule. And then you're like, I think I'll go skiing. And you go downstairs and put your skis on, and you're on the mountain in 10 minutes. I'm really enjoying it. It's extremely well run, and everybody's very friendly. The green room is off the charts. I feel very well taken care of. I think the panels are interesting. The fans are great. This is a great con. And this was one of the, like, I got a wish fulfilled this year because there aren't that many cons that I've heard about that I'm like, oh, I'm dying to go. And this was one of them. So it kind of was a very serendipitous thing. And yay. So I do hope to come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope to have you back.
Thank you.
So what were your first tryouts for voice acting, the first things that you tried out for?
Well, it takes a while to get the so-called, like, the big auditions.
The phone call, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the business also has changed so much in the last few years that, you know, there really were only, in general, a handful of people who pretty much did all of it. And even now, the voice acting community is pretty small percentage-wise compared to the entertainment community at large, and then that the whole world outside around it, which we forget exists because we live in this bubble. But it's nice because there have been business models like Voices123, Voices.com, where it's like a marketplace, and people can, they can go in and they can put themselves in a database and, you know, make a demo. I mean, unfortunately, I think what's happened with a lot of it is that because there are so many people who are new to it and they haven't had a lot of professional training, and, you know, like it or not, it is a business and people are in it to save money. So there's a lot of undercutting that goes on. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know, I mean, I pretty much went a straight route. A lot of people come in through radio, or they come in through theater, they come in through engineering, or they, you know, just sort of migrated. I was like, I want to voice act, so what are the most direct routes? I started taking classes, and I started really practicing, and I started going to events where voice actors would be. And, you know, from there, it just gradually grows and grows. So, sorry, what was the original question? How do you get the auditions?
Oh, no, what right. was the first audition?
The first, wow, okay, long way around for me, I'm sorry. I don't remember, I honestly don't remember. The first one that I was really excited about, that I was like, wow, I've made it, I'm competing at an amazing level, was Coca-Cola.
Commercial work.
Yes. Well, in commercials, you know, and a lot of people, I think, who want to be voice actors, whether it's anime or video games or animation, I tell them, don't knock commercials, they pay the bills. And they've amazingly, wonderfully continue to pay my bills, depending. You can just get that one. And if it runs for a number of cycles, for a number of years, you can live, you know.
You can stack up the royalties.
Yeah. I mean, and not all of them are like that, which is why, of course, there's strength in numbers. You know, it's a numbers game. If the more auditions you get, obviously, the more chances you have of booking. There are plenty of regional markets where, you know, the auditions I'll get from my agent range anything from a brand new pilot for Nickelodeon to, you know, Wisconsin Lottery. And it's great because you're covering such a wide spectrum. The first really big commercial job I ever booked was Coca-Cola. It was a different Coca-Cola thing than the one I read for, but that was phenomenal. I was like, oh my God, it's like the biggest brand on the planet. They never ended up running the ad in the United States. At least not. And I was like, you know, oh, it'll be going, you know, during the Oscars or the World Series or whatever. I was like, no. And I think somebody said, hey, they were running some interesting, like, I don't know if you guys ever been to a place like the Coffee Bean where they have that screen up there and they've got like a newsreel with a ticker tape. It was something like that, they said, at maybe a Chuck E. Cheese. And I was like, wow, awesome. But it's pretty exciting when you get those. You know, 90% of this job is auditioning, you know, and the booking is the icing on the cake. And that's wonderful. Mm. And there are people who work a ton. And I have weeks where I'm extremely busy and I have weeks where, you know, my job is to do the auditions and say, hey, I'm still here, type of thing. You know, you're always working towards the work. Mm. But yeah, I feel very fortunate that, you know, it's, you don't look at it like, ugh, I have to do these auditions. You're like, I get to do these auditions. And that's all part of it. It's all fun. You know, you do it, and for the most part, you let it go. Because if you get attached to anything, oh boy.
Since you've worked with Funimation and on video games, that means that you've worked in both Texas and California. Mm-hmm. So, since Texas is a right-to-work state and California is more of a union state, what is your opinion of the differences between working in Texas or California?
I'm not really sure what you mean by the question.
Oh, okay.
Are you saying if like one's better than the other?
What I'm asking is like your opinion of working in a right to work state or in a union state, which is more prolific or easier to work with?
I think it just depends on where you are. I know a lot of people who started out, you know, moving there and migrated to California and, you know, are now huge. A lot of quote-unquote success stories, if you will, which isn't really the right way to say it, because I think anybody who's working in the industry they want to be in, hats off to you. I've been in the union for about 8 years. You don't necessarily even have to be in the union to do a union job, but it is certainly harder. Mm. Sometimes you can get what they call a Taft-Hart lead, or you can get hired to work on a union project, and then you become what they call a must-join. And at a certain point, you know, then you got to pay the fee. Since the merger, it's become more expensive to join. And I actually booked a union job. It was really cool because I got to work with Paul Reiser. So that was probably the job that got me eligible for the union. But I did not rush into it immediately. I think I waited about a year before joining because really, you know, just because you're in the union does not mean that you will get union work. You're just paying your dues, and that's great. But then you got to, you know, you're competing with everybody else who's in the union. So yeah, I took my time, but boy, am I glad I joined when I did. If you are financial core, I think you're not allowed to vote on certain measures and whatnot. I'm not sure about the insurance, and you know, having union insurance is lovely too, because California is an expensive place to live.
Oh,
for sure.
So coming back over to the convention, what has been your favorite event at the convention so far?
Well, I feel like, you know, because I wasn't here for Friday, maybe there was some stuff that I missed. You know, like I said, I've had a pretty light schedule. I had a solo panel yesterday in the video game room, which is, as far as I can tell, is a converted restaurant. Mm-hmm. So I was almost kind of hoping for a mariachi band to come over and sing, you know, and play on my entrance. And that was fun. I liked the solo panels. I liked talking to people. And also, it was kind of different to have nice, comfy chairs for people to sit in that atmosphere rather than a big, empty, like, lecture hall where I never fill those up, especially if they're huge. Sometimes I'll get, you know, 50, 60 people. Sometimes I'll get 12. you know, and a lot of times they'll sit all the way in the back. I'm like, no, 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 come on up here. I'm just as nervous as you guys are.
I'm not going to bite.
Yeah. There was a very fun voice actor Q&A this morning, and luckily I got to mostly respond to things in kind. And, you know, it's in a room with, you know, voice actors tend to out-silly each other sometimes. And so most of the time I just got to sit there and laugh. Occasionally I would answer a question. But, you know, it's all fun. I mean, the signings were fun. I really like getting to meet other people, and I really like getting to hang out with my fellow voice actors, some of whom are some of my dearest friends in the world. And then even the ones whose names I only knew, and then I meet them, and I'm like, yeah, you know, we're all essentially sharing the same giant brain in one way or another. So it's like, my people.
So it's got a good energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed at conventions is that at conventions, a lot of the convention attendees, they have this energy. They just draw on that energy, and they're vibrant and outgoing and social, and they're just really, really energetic and happy. And then Monday rolls around, and they go back to their normal lives, and they kind of lose that energy. Mm. Do you have any suggestions on ways that people can take that energy from the conventions and keep it?
Do I have suggestions? You know, it's funny. The first con I ever went to, I had such a great time, and it came at a perfect time when I desperately needed to get out of where I was. I had a real rough couple of months, and this was great because I got to go just 3,000 miles away and go hang with my friends. And for all intents and purposes, and I'm not saying it's all about me, but as a guest of honor, it is kind of all about you. But and you're hanging with your friends, and you're distracted, and it's like this nice little bubble. And then I got home, and the depression kind of came back, because I was like, well, now what? You know? So as far, I get it. That's, you know, I call it the post-con malaise. Mm-hmm. It's kind of melancholy, because a lot of people spend months and months gearing up for these things, especially cosplayers who, God, they blow me away. I'm sartorially challenged. Or I shouldn't say sartorial, but I'm not a seamstress or anything like that, so I'm so impressed by all that. But that aside, I just try to dive back into work or the pursuit of it, or, you know, I'll go for a hike or something, try to make sure that I don't have enough time to kind of sit and, you know, and worry. Or, you know, another way to do it is to make sure you have a bunch of other stuff lined up. Sometimes that's not in your control. Right, just, you know, and that's good, because after this, I have plenty to do when I get home, and then I've got two more cons in October, and then another one in December. Something else should pop. So it's nice if you have stuff to look forward to. It's, you know, I try not to make my life about any one thing too much, because there are times when, you know, when voiceover's not busy, and if I let myself think about it, then I'll start to go crazy. So that's when, you know, I integrate with my friends more, and I try to, you know, work on other little projects, and, you know, God will, you know, maybe. And some people literally do have like three legitimate careers going simultaneously. I never had those powers of concentration. I know what I'm good at. So when I spread myself too thin, I'm less effective in all areas. So I love my voiceover, but also I try to make sure I stay grounded in other creative things.
And another thing that kind of adds to anxiety when people get back to the, quote, real world, end quote. What is your advice for anyone who may be dealing with bullies or be a victim of bullying?
God, I hate bullies. And I don't toss that word around lightly. And I know that some bullies are themselves bullied. You know, there's only so far that I can extend my sympathy, because I don't really believe most of the time that anybody is 100% evil or 100% good. I was bullied myself a little bit when I was little. Not to the degree that you see now. The stuff that
the
I
internet.
See is just unconscionable. Mm-hmm. And it makes me want to cry. And sometimes I do. But what also makes me really happy is I'm seeing how people are rallying around that and how people are coming up with really unique and interesting and powerful ways to combat that. And I'd say, you know, the internet is both a horrible and wonderful place. You know, it can't exist, the good without the evil. I think bullies do what they do because they hate themselves. I think that's the core of it. And, you know, there are times when, you know, especially if there's physical abuse involved, sometimes the only thing you want to do is just fight right back. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I'm not condoning that, obviously, but, you know, I knew a couple of kids who never touched me again when I, you know, when I knocked them down. I'm just saying, you know, like, but, you know, being true to yourself, being truly authentic and owning who you are is probably the worst thing for a bully, because they hate themselves. Somebody whose life is so empty that they have to, you know, torture somebody else or torture little animals. And again, I mean, that's like a subject that I can't get into, because I will just be filled with rage. But it can be completely deflating. But yeah, keep being who you are and be so confident in yourself and who you are that they just can't touch you. And if there's physical abuse involved, then yeah, get whoever else involved. We'll make it actually stop. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've found that words are extremely powerful, and people who, you know, continue to read up on the subject and be educated. There's nothing that makes a bully crazier than when you're smarter than they are. Yeah.
Now on to more happier subjects. Is there anything you'd like to promote? Yes.
Gosh. Well, there's two things that I'm super, super excited about, but I can't talk about them.
Non-disclosure.
Of course.
NDAs.
Let's see. There Came an Echo, the real-time strategy game coming up with Will Wheaton, which I first got about a year and a half ago, but they've been doing so many cool things to it this whole time that we haven't recorded it yet. Excuse me. We will record that very, very soon, and I'm hoping that should be out sometime next year. Let's see, what just came out? Nothing. Well, yeah, I mean, I do, but I can't.
Well, there is still Helsing.
There's always Helsing. Yeah. Just started on Toonami. I was really excited about that. Of course, it's going to be, you know, 3 a.m, but I know people who stay up that late. A Certain Magical Index, I play Lidvia Lorenzetti, a nun with an agenda. You can hear me for about 5 seconds in Hetalia, the Beautiful World, as Queen Elizabeth II. Firefall, actually, an MMO that's ongoing. I have worked with those guys a little bit, and I play at last count about 15 different roles. And this is a fun one because I love dialects. That's one of my fortes. It's one of my passions. And they're just like, run with it. Do whatever you want. Just to, you know, this is what we generally want. We want kind of Russian, or we want kind of Texan, or we want, you know, kind of whatever. And I'm like, okay, yay. So anybody who's into that kind of thing, by all means. Guild Wars is ongoing. The Elder Scrolls Online came out in April, but that obviously continues to go on too. I wish I could say Fang lives forever. Pretty sure she ain't coming back after this one. So Bombshell coming out next year. That's all I'll say about that. But you know, I'm sure there's more, but my brain is completely mushy, and I think, yeah, for the time being, that's about it. And yes, there is something that was actually completed months ago, but they haven't said a word, so neither can I. But I promise, the minute that's announced, I'm just going to pimp it everywhere, because I'm so excited about it.
So, where can people find you on?
My website is, it's all lowercase, R-A-C-H-E-L. -/ if you prefer, robinson.com. If you don't put the hyphen in, you'll get somebody else entirely, who, by the way, I actually went to school with and know, which I think is pretty funny. But yes, put the hyphen in. My Twitter handle is @larynx, L-A-R-Y-N-X, _lynx, L-Y-N-X, because I am silly. My Facebook fan page is Rachel Robinson Voice Actress. I have a YouTube channel, but I'm terrible about updating it, so maybe by just admitting it now, that will force me to be more proactive. But those are the best places to find me.
And thank you for the interview.
My pleasure.
This has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, with Radio DMG and
Rachel Robinson.
And we're here at NonDescon 2014. And good night.
And good night.
To be honest, I have to admit that I really like the idea of our feature theme just reversing itself to get out of our features, because that's just bizarre, and I like that. here's what we're going to be doing with these shows. From now on, our shows could be about 30 minutes long for Radio DMG. And that's Radio DMG Prime, which you're listening to now. Unless we have a longer feature presentation. And then it's a little bit longer. But we try and fill up at least 30 minutes of your time. Why? So that you can have these in little bite-sized portions. I mean, we give you those two-hour musical rations, and we're going to be giving you longer history lesson-type episodes with... Yeah, we're bringing back Holding the Bridge. I figured out what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to make it a little bit where I take a couple of news stories, and I talk about them, and there we go. Also, we're going to be doing reviews. And by that, I mean reviews. We've decided we're going to call these, Was It Good For Me? Because that's really all you want to know about a movie or a DVD or whatnot. In fact, we're going to be doing quite a few of those. Those are going to be shorter, maybe 5 minutes or so. They're going to be audio and pictures, meaning they're going to be here in audio. We'll release them. And then they're also going to be YouTube things. So look forward to that. But yeah, thank you for listening to this episode of Radio DMG. We probably would still do this even if nobody was listening, because that's kind of the people we are. But thank you for listening. And if you like what you hear, hit like, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. There's a long laundry list of things at the bottom of each of these episode descriptions. So, follow those. Follow us on YouTube at areadmg.com. Follow us on DMGice at dmgice.com. Follow us on Facebook. Check out animationisart.com. We'll do something with that eventually. Probably a store online on the internet. Dun dun dun. Or we might sell stuff through a Craigslist or through a Facebook group. So, keep an eye out for that. One more thing, you might want to follow Street Pass Aurora. If you're in the Aurora, Colorado area, or Denver, or whatever, all the little surrounding places, you should check it out. We're going to try and do more later, more with that, but at least we have at least one meetup every month, so it's always like the second Saturday of each month, so look forward to it. We'll announce those details, you know, on our Facebook page, which you can get to by SPAurora.com, and you can also check out all that stuff. Just pretty much thank you for listening. We wouldn't do this without you, but we're glad you're here for the ride. You know, we're glad you're tuned in for the ride. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. Please look forward to our next episode, okay? Like I said before, I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and you are now caught up.